You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Have you noticed there's a gap between where you are and where God is calling you? Whenever we see any great man or woman of God in the Bible, you'll always see God come to them and God presents a promise to them. But what he never does is pick the person straight up and drop them in the promise. There's always a journey between where they are and where God is calling them. You see, so often as Christians, we want God to do this miracle where he'll pick us up out of a situation and then drop us in a place where there is no problem. But the truth be known is that it's in the journey that God strengthens our faith. It's in the walking that God actually strengthens our faith. And there's always a gap between where you are and where he's calling you. For example, I came to college in 1997 as a single man. And I remember sitting there at 22 years old going, hopefully one day I'll be married. But I'm not going to start, trying to become a man of God when I get married. I need to start that process now so that the day I stand on the altar, my wife can look up into my eyes and go, I'm marrying a man of God. She didn't say I'm marrying a perfect man of God. She's just a man of God. Well, if she did, she soon learnt. But so I began to deal with some of the character issues that I had to deal with of being a young man that was 21 years not saved. So I started to deal with that stuff. And then in 1998, I married my wife, Cherie. She's amazing. She's quite a fox, actually. She's beautiful. And she's just phenomenal. And I remember standing on the altar at 24 thinking, God, I'm too young for this. And then I came into marriage and continued on the journey. But I remember sitting there thinking, God willing, maybe one day I'll become a father. So I began to, like this church, saw what looked at great examples of fathers in our church and began to go, okay, how did they raise their children? What are their children like? What did they do? And I began to ask the questions. That's the amazing thing about being a part of a great church. There's always so many examples of people that are that further on in the journey from you. And so I remember going, okay, God willing, one day I'm going to become a father. And 2 years into marriage, my first son came along, Elijah. And I remember holding this little dude in my arms thinking, man, I'm too young for this. This whole life is now in my arms. And then 2 years later, his brother come along, Ben, and so I've got these two little boys, these two little chubby dudes in my arms, and I'm going, oh my goodness, what have I done with my life? Now I'm responsible. Now I'm accountable. Then a few years later, their sister Lily came along, and I dropped the boys, and I picked up Lily. And I had this little princess in my hands, and I still remember sitting there going, God, I hope I raise you right. So then I began to talk to parents that had raised daughters. The boys I was good with, it was kind of like, all right, you man up. You know, you're kind of 4 and 2 now. You man up and work it out. But this girl needs all my help. And she just got my heart, and I remember talking to parents that had daughters and going, how do you raise them? You know, what age? And everyone kept saying to me, oh, wait till they hit the teenage years. wait till girls hit the teenage years. And so she's 11 at the moment. And so she's about to go into the teenage years. So church, keep praying for me because that promise of a perfect teenager is yet ahead of me. And I got to walk through that. But you're never ready. There's always something more that God is calling you into. And when you get to a point where you're like, yes, finally I've conquered that battle, God kind of taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, there's just one more ahead. And then you go ahead and you get that one more battle. You're like, yes, I've got it. And then there's one more ahead. And then you get through that one. Then there's one more ahead. After a while, you just stop going, yes, I made it, and start realizing, okay, I got through that one. I know there's one more ahead. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1 this afternoon. Joshua chapter 1. Ready for men's conference, men? Girls, turn to the men in your life and say, hey, you're going to men's conference next week. Go on, girls, go on. Go ahead and tell them that. We got a saying at Hillsong Church, when it comes to men conference, you'd be a girl to miss it. Now, verse 4. There's two big moments in the Old Testament, the Exodus under Moses, and then what's known as the conquest under Joshua. Joshua took over from Moses and was about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And when they got across to Jordan, they had 31 cities that they needed to conquer before they actually got the promise. I love that God gives us promises, but what he never tells us is the battles that we've got to go through in order to get to the promise. And he comes to Joshua here in verse 4 and he says, your territory will be extended from the desert of Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Notice this next bit, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Notice this one. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it night and day so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Now, when God wants to get somebody's attention in the Old Testament in Hebrew, he has to say it twice. If we're in the New Testament, he'll say it three times. But God comes to Joshua here and he says to him, be strong and courageous. And then a verse later, he says, be strong and very courageous. And I kind of sit there thinking, I would have been good with just strong and courageous. Like, Lee, be strong and courageous. But then for God to come back a verse later and go, be strong and very courageous, you're kind of like, well, what's the difference between being courageous and being very courageous? But then for God to say a third time, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, you would sit there going, God, what are you trying to say to me? It's kind of like God said, be strong and courageous. Now, hang on. You're going to need to be strong and very courageous. No, wait. You're going to need to be strong and courageous and do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. If you got that promise, you would sit there going, God, what are you trying to tell me? Three times, be strong and courageous. And you know, so often you'll see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God comes to someone or Jesus comes to someone and he will say to them, take courage, or be strong in heart, or be strong and courageous. And when God says be strong and courageous, church, can I say this? It's not because he's trying to intimidate you. What he's actually doing when he says be strong and courageous, do not fear or do not be afraid, what he's actually saying is be strong and courageous because I'm about to open you up to something that you wouldn't believe even if I tried to explain it to you right now. And I believe that God is saying, be strong and courageous to some people in this room today, because he's about to open you up to a promise that you've been believing for many years, and it's about to come to pass in your life. But if he told you the detail right now, you wouldn't believe it. So he's saying, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Keep going forward into all that he has for you. And so three things that we're going to look at tonight. Three things when it comes to possessing the promises, going after all that God has for you. Number one, this is not three doings, these are three beings. This is a part of who you are. Number one, be courageous. Be courageous. Remember the story of Jesus coming across the water in Matthew chapter 14, and Peter yells out to Jesus from the boat, as Jesus comes across the water, and they're looking terrified, And Jesus says to Peter, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. There's those words again. Same words spoken to Joshua are the same words spoken to Peter. And we know that Joshua went on and established the kingdom of God, and Peter, in the book of Acts, went on and extended the kingdom of God. And so we see the same words here, that if we're going to go after the promises of God and all that he has for us, we've got to be courageous. We've got to put aside the things that would try and grip us and hold us back. We've got to put aside that you can't do this and go and just remind the enemy, you're right, I can't do this, but God promised it. He promised, be strong and courageous. I know I can't do it, but with him, we can make this happen. Amen? Be strong and courageous. You see, if you're anything like me, you want to go, God, I understand the promise, but give me A, B, C, and D. Or when he gives you a little bit of detail, you're kind of like, God, I think there's a better way to do this. And all of a sudden, the control freak in you tries to tell God what to do and how to do his job. Because truth be known, we don't like what's unseen. We don't like what's untested. We don't like what's unknown. And you see, Israel over and over again, both in the Exodus and the conquest, keep saying to Moses and Joshua, we want to go back to where we came from. We want to go back to what's known. We want to go back to what's tested. But church, can I remind you tonight that there is no promise back there for you. All the promises of God are ahead for you. Yes, it's unknown. Yes, it's untested. Yes, it's unseen. But be strong and courageous and keep going after all that God has for you. You see, if he's with you, he'll partner with you. If you know God's with you, you don't mind continuing to go forward, not having the details. Yes, God is definitely the God of the details. He knows the details. He's just not the God that shares them with you. Because if he shared them with you, you'd probably do a 180-degree turn and go back to Egypt where you came from. But here's the thing, God doesn't want you to be a slave to your past, a slave to Egypt. He wants you to be a son and daughter of God. And he wants you to continue to journey and move and grow in the things of God and the promises that are ahead for us. But we've got to know that God is with us. A few weeks ago, my daughter Lily had her birthday. Well, 12 months ago now, to be honest with you. And she just wanted birthday money. And so we gave her birthday money, and then my parents gave her some money as well. And I said to her one time, I said, Lily, how much birthday money do you have? And she said, I've got $70, a $50 note and a $20 note. And I said, oh, that's cool, that's cool. I said, what are you gonna do with it? She said, well, I'm gonna tithe on the first part of it, and then I'm gonna spend the rest on clothes. I said, oh, good on you, baby, well done. And so we went to church this morning, and on the way home, I said, Lily, how was kids' church? And she said, oh, Dad, it was amazing. And she went through the lesson that she'd learned, the scripture verse that she'd memorized. And I said to her, did you give in the offering today? She said, yes, Dad, I tithed on my offering. Now, $70 she had, a tithe, 10% is $7. Even I can work that one out from Australia. Now, it took me a while, but I got there. And I said to her, oh, how much did you give? She said, oh, I gave $50. Now, while I'm trying to sit there and think through, hang on, tithe is $7, you gave $50, that's seven, and I'm trying to work out what is that percentage in my mind, this little voice comes from the back seat that says, yeah, I just want kids to know Jesus the way I know Jesus. It was one of those moments, church, where you want to pull the car over, get down on your knees and say, Lily, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. But I just love that she had $70, $50, and $20. I know which one I would have given. I just loved her faith in either her dad or her father. But either way, she knew clothes were going to come as a result of her giving. Church, can I say this? When it comes to being courageous, hey, your father's got your back. Keep going forward. Partner with God in all that he has for you. Number two tonight. Not only be courageous, but number two, be in faith. Be in faith. The promise is to Joshua that God will extend his territory. And he also promises in verse 5 that I will be with you. I will never forsake you. That's one of the great promises that we have as believers, that God will never leave us. God will never forsake us, that he'll always be with us going forward into all that he has for us. But I love twice here in this passage of scripture that God says, be careful. He says, be careful. And both of them have to do with obeying what he says. You see, when it comes to obedience, it's a word that we often don't like too much, but it simply means, and God says this several times throughout both the Old and the New Testament, Jesus himself turned to his disciples and he said, follow me. And this whole concept of following God will keep you in faith. And what it actually means in Hebrew to follow God or follow him wholeheartedly, you'll see in other scriptures, is simply when God steps forward, your foot goes into his footprint. And then when he steps forward again, your foot goes into his footprint. And so he's always moving ahead and you're following, you're walking in his footsteps. You see, if we continue to walk in his footsteps, we don't have to worry about what cities are ahead for us or what battles are ahead for us, because God is always going before us in all that he has for us. And you can always tell when a person's in faith and when they're not in faith. Whether they're excited for the future or whether they're living in disappointment. And I believe that as people of faith, we're always got to be excited about tomorrow. We've always got to be excited about what's ahead for us. Yes, there's going to be disappointments along the way, no doubt. There's going to be a few regrets along the way, no doubt. But we can't go back there. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to stay in faith because God's not going to take you back there. The only way you can go back there is if you turn your back on God and walk your way back to Egypt. But if you keep following God, you will continue to stay in faith and go forward into all that he has for you. And so the promise here to Joshua in verse 8, a familiar passage of scripture, is meditate on my word, or meditate on Torah day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Meditate. When we think of this word meditate, it doesn't mean, you know, like a new age, go hug a tree, kiss a dolphin, anything like that. It simply means think on the things of God. And I honestly believe, church, if you wake up every morning and just get one word into you, it can be a proverb, a psalm, it can be from some passage of scripture, but you get a word into your mind and you begin to meditate on that. We know the word meditate often has the same connotation as a cow. It chews grass and then puts it down into its stomach, then brings it back up and chews it some more and puts it back down and brings it back up. Same thing when it comes to the word of God. You're thinking it through, then getting it down into your spirit, and then it comes back up and you think it through and get it down into your spirit. But also in the Hebrew context of meditate, we often think meditation is this silent thing that I do. The Hebrew word for meditate is mutter. So it's actually saying, get the word of God into you, but then allow it to come out of your mouth. Begin to mutter the promises of God. Begin to speak the promises of God, because there's a strong connection between the heart and the mouth. And the heart is the center of the emotional and rational life. And so when we begin to meditate on the word of God, stuff's gonna happen in your life. Promises are going to come to pass, or promises are going to come to your mind. You're going to be faced with a situation. You're going to be reminded, hang on, I've seen this city before. Now I'm going to be strong and courageous because God gave me that city. I'm going to keep going after that city. You're going to begin to confess the word of God. The enemy's going to try and put sickness on you, and you'll be reminded, no, he took our sicknesses on the cross 2,000 years ago. I refuse to walk in what God's taken from me and continue to go forward into all he has for you. He tries to throw something at you. The Bible says I'm a partaker of his divine nature. And all of a sudden, the scripture begins to come out of your mouth, begins to go forward, and you begin to walk in the promises of God. You see, when we meditate, we get the word of God into us. And someone once said, if all you get into you is the word of God, then when you're put under pressure, all that's gonna come out of you is the word of God. And I believe that the more you speak the word of God, the more you meditate on the word of God, the more you become more like God. And you're going to find yourself in situations where you're like, man, I just never saw that miracle happen. I never saw that happen. I didn't see that coming, but all of a sudden, something happens. I remember a few years ago, we were on holidays and we're in a little surfing town up on the north coast of Australia and on the east coast. And we're up there and I remember going through a self-checkout and scanning all my groceries that I'd bought, and there was a lady next to me and I could hear her on the phone, and she's sitting there and you could tell she was rough. You could tell, you know, she had a testimony somewhere along the line, and she was just sitting there and I could hear her on the phone going, are you sure the money hasn't come through yet? Oh, I thought it was going to come through yesterday. What? Another week? No. And, a few words that we won't say in church, few four-letter words just dropping out of her mouth, and I'm sitting there, and I could tell that she was distressed, and she gets off the phone, and she'd already put her groceries through. She went to pay for them, but she couldn't afford everything in her bag, and she got off the phone. She said to the lady at the self-checkout area, "Listen, I'm going to have to take $12 out of the bag," and I leaned over. I said, "Lady, I'll give you the $12." And she goes, "You can't give me $12. I said, I can give you $12. Like, it's like two American dollars. I said, I can give you $12. It's no problem at all. And she goes, "You can't do that." I said, "I can do that." She said, "Who do you think you are?" I said, "Well, I'm Lee Burns from Hillsong." No, I didn't. I said, "Look, I'm nobody. I'm just a guy from Newcastle, which is a small city in Australia." And that convinced her that I was nobody. And she goes, "Well, how are we going to do this?" And I said, "Look, I'll show you how to do it." And I leaned over and I pressed pay with card and waved my card over the machine, and it paid for the whole groceries. And I said, "There you go, it's all done." And she goes, "Yeah, that's done, but how am I going to get the money to you?" I said, "Don't worry about the money." And she said, no, I've got to get the money to you, the rest of the money." I said, "Don't worry about the money. It's fine. It's not a problem at all." And she asked me again, "What are you doing?" I said, "No, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to help you out. It's not a problem at all." And like, she's getting this inferiority complex, and I'm just trying to help the lady. And she looks back at me and she goes, "Well," she got tears rolling down her eyes. She goes, "Well, I hope something so good happens to you this week." I said, "Lady, it just did." And as I walked out, as I walked out and around the wall, I heard her turn to the Coles checkout lady. And she goes, "What the just happened?" But the language of generosity right there. It will always get the world's attention. But church, can I say this? When you're in faith, opportunities just seem to come your way. Miracles just seem to come your way. Be strong and courageous. Be in faith. Number three tonight. Is everyone good? Be consistent. Be consistent. I think if there's two areas as believers we need to be consistent in, is number one, turning up to church, and number two, being generous. Those things, I can guarantee you, you do that for 22 years and you're going to live a blessed life. But what the enemy wants to do is to try and hold you back from both of those, I find. You always find people, you know, they're like, "Man, I haven't seen you in church for 6 months. Where have you been?" "Oh, to be honest with you, I got offended." Like, oh my gosh. I don't know, that doesn't happen here. They're real sensitive over in Sydney. But the Bible says there's two things that you're going to take. You're either going to take offense or you're going to take courage. There's only two things you're going to take as a believer. And I'm going to be honest with you. I honestly think offense is just God's way of going, "Hey, here's a small area in your life. You need to get bigger." Tell the person next to you and say, "Man, I think he's talking to you now." Be consistent. When God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous," this is what he's saying, church. Be humble enough to hear me. And be courageous enough to follow me. Be humble enough to hear me and be courageous enough to follow me. You see, it's a reference back to a man by the name of Moses who heard God and led Israel out of Egypt. But then there was a guy named Aaron who allowed the people to tell him what they wanted to do. And when Moses comes back, they've gone back to idolatry and made a golden calf. And God is saying to Joshua here, be humble enough to hear me, but also be strong enough to follow me with conviction. Even when the people say, we don't get it, we don't know how this is gonna happen, we can't see it, we wanna go back, be humble enough to hear me and be strong enough to follow me. Be consistent, don't be distracted. A few years ago, I had a student come to me, and this is many years ago, so none of you guys will know who I'm talking about. But I had this guy come to me, and he was a first year. Back then, we had a dating rule in college, and it was you couldn't date for the first 12 months of college. Now, I've changed that to 6 months, if that's a game changer for anyone in the room and you want to come to college. 6 months now, you're welcome. But we pulled it back. It was 12 months back then, and he comes to me, and he's halfway through his first year, and he was a good footballer, a soccer player from Europe, and I don't know, he just loved the ladies, you know, and they kind of loved him as well. And he comes to me, he goes, Lee, I've got this girl that I want to go out with. I feel like the Lord is saying she's the one. And I said, bro, you're 6 months into your course. Be a friend for another 6 months, because at the end of the day, a good marriage is based on a good friendship. And I said, he said, no, I feel like the Lord's saying that I need to date her. And I said, bro, I can guarantee you, he's not saying you should date her. And he goes, no, I'm serious. This is from God. And he tells me the name of the girl, who was one of my head students, one of the leaders in college. And I said, bro, now I can guarantee you it's definitely not from God. And so I said to him, just be a friend for 6 months, because she's going to want a godly man with great character. Be that dude. Start to get some runs on the board. Well, about 3 weeks later, I'm asleep in my bed. I never put my phone next to my bed, but 3 weeks later, I'm sitting there with my phone next to my bed, and a text message goes off. And it's kind of like 2 a.m. in the morning. And I'm thinking, who texts me at 2 a.m. in the morning? And I picked up the phone and I looked at it, and it said on the text message, it said, babe, I can't stop thinking about you. And I'm thinking, I knew Cherie was beside me. I'm thinking, God, just tap me on the shoulder. You don't have to text me, you know? And so I'm kind of like trying to see who it is, and I look and it's this guy. You see, the girl he liked, her name's Leah. My name's Lee. Now, I'm flattered that he calls me babe, for sure. But I look at it and I'm like, oh my goodness. So I ride back to him. Bro, I'll see you at 8:30 in the morning in my office, and I can guarantee you, you will stop thinking about me. You see, church, so often God wants to bring distractions across our path. Can I say this? All the promises of God are ahead for us. Strong, church, let's be strong and courageous. Let's stay in faith. Let's be consistent. Don't get distracted to the left or the right, but keep following after all that God has for you, and you'll continue to see the promises of God unfold in your life. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand in this place tonight.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.